Welcome to Fantasy Football Insights, guys. I'm Chris Brent.
I'm Brandon Fogel.
Here today to talk to you guys about some news around the league, break down some wildcard games, talk about the divisional round. Playoff challenge, kind of what good finds you can find here on the waiver wire there for you. You only got 8 moves, so you better figure it out quick. We're here to help. Going into the news here, we got possibility that Michael Vick could be the next Bengals quarterback. They won't be giving him the job officially, but it'll definitely be a competition between him and Dalton. How do you feel about that?
I definitely see their point of wanting to bring in another quarterback for that team. Andy Dalton has been kind of what they have needed. He's made the playoffs in all of his years in the NFL, but the problem is, guys, is that he hasn't won a single playoff game. He's thrown one career touchdown in the postseason, which is not what you expect out of what you expect to be as a franchise quarterback. And I mean, it showed the same yesterday against the Chargers. Andy Dalton went 29-51, 334 passing yards and a touchdown, along with 2 picks. And I mean, I definitely see the Bengals' point of focus in order to bring in someone else to kind of fight for the job and just see how things go. But I don't think Michael Vick's the answer. Michael Vick he had a very good year with the Eagles that one year. Problem is that he cannot stay healthy. He cannot play a fully healthy season, and he does lack. He does make some questionable throws at times, not having the best arm strength. I don't think Michael Vick's the answer, but I do think that they need to start looking elsewhere.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I look at Michael Vick as a guy who's a temporary solution, and by temporary I mean a 4-game solution. I don't think he's gonna make it past that.
You might just use him for the playoffs.
Yeah, like that's what you'd have to do. You just have to kind of conserve him. You kind of use him as like the Tim Tebow role for the Jets. Then maybe once you get to the playoffs, maybe just put Michael Vick in and let him run wild. But I don't really feel good about doing that either. It just, to me, you just look at it and it's just not really a good substitution. Like, if you want to get rid of Andy Dalton can make all the throws. Honestly, I just think that you just need to put him in the right situations. The Bengals got away from what they did well in the games. I did not see a lot of screen passes. I did not see a lot of things that got Giovanni Bernard involved. He did fumble, and they did kind of start going away from him. I think he had 8 catches for like 79 yards. But the screens, they ran like 2, I think, which, I mean, is fine. But, I mean, you got to kind of help Andy Dalton and kind of guide him along here in the playoffs. Let them make easy throws, and they just made them make difficult throws, and it kind of killed them.
Yeah, they definitely tried to give Bernard the ball a lot in this game. They actually got him 19 touches in this game, 12 attempts for 45 rushing yards and 7 catches for 73 yards. Problem is that Giovanni Bernard played like a rookie in this game, and you cannot do that. You cannot do that in a playoff game. If you're having a team trust you in a playoff game, you've been there all year for them, you cannot play like a rookie. He had some costly drops in the third and fourth quarter, which could have led to possibly a touchdown drive. You just don't know. He also, like you said, he lost that fumble. And those are just costly errors that you cannot have back. He made some mistakes, but like you said, he is a rookie. And not all the blame goes on him, Andy Dalton, on drives that they needed a push, that team needed momentum to change the game around. He threw picks, and I mean, that's what Andy Dalton's kind of accustomed to. I actually picked the Chargers in this game just based on Andy Dalton's performance in the playoffs so far, and I mean, it served well for me once again.
Yeah, I mean, you look at AJ Green, Chargers took him away. They let Marvin Jones run wild on him, and Marvin Jones had, I think, like 6-7 catches.
Yeah, 8 catches for 130 yards. Marvin Jones definitely came to play. But a lot of that came on the expense of A.J. Green being shut down with only 3 catches for 34 yards.
And it was really kind of too late once they started getting Marvin Jones involved. They tried to go hot and heavy to A.J. Green, which you kind of knew that's what they were going to do once they got here early. And once they do that, then they tried to get Marvin Jones involved. They were trying to force stuff in, and the game was just practically over at that point. That fumble changed everything. Giovanni Bernard fumble.
Oh, exactly.
It killed him.
The momentum of the game changed right then. We're going to go over to the Chargers side. The Chargers did a very good job of managing the game, and that's what that team seems to do very well, is managing the game, managing time of possession. that's something that Mike McCoy has definitely brought to that team.
That's their only shot, honestly, especially in this playoffs. They have to use the clock to their advantage. You're not beating a Peyton Manning if you're going to let him touch the ball for 40 minutes. You're not doing it. You're not beating a Tom Brady. You're not going to beat a cop. You're not going to do it. They're a team who needs that clock control to win the games, and that's what they're doing right now.
Absolutely. I mean, Phillip Rivers only threw the ball 16 times compared to Andy Dalton, who threw it 51 times. Like, you can just definitely see how both offenses were oriented. Phillip Rivers completed 12 of 16, 120 yards, and a touchdown. He played a good game. I mean, from he didn't turn over the ball, which that's huge in the playoffs. You had Ryan Matthews, who did go out after the first half with what seemed to be an ankle injury, thus giving the ball to Ronnie Brown, who actually had a very good game. He had 8 carries for 77 yards and a touchdown, breaking off the game-clinching touchdown for 58 yards. And he definitely came in, brought his veteran presence to the game, along with Danny Woodhead, who had 15 carries for 54 yards and a touchdown. Danny Woodhead's been that safe back for Phillip Rivers all year, also having 2 catches for 14 yards. It's kind of low in receptions, but expect that to grow in future games.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, you look at what they did with Ryan Matthews. I don't know how good of a game he ended up having, but he was kind of getting involved early, but then he went down. Then they started shifting the focus over there. And when you looked at Phillip Rivers, I looked at the first half, and I was shocked out of my mind. He only had 6 pass attempts in the first half. I was sitting there. I couldn't believe it. I was like, yeah, how are they winning? And he's only throwing the ball. No, how are they? Yeah, they were down by like 3, I think, or something. And I was like,
yeah, it was 10-7 after the half.
Yeah, it was like they're down by 3 points. He only threw the ball 6 times.
That's amazing. It was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, they did a very good job rushing the ball. I mean, like you said, Ryan Matthews got involved early. He had 13 attempts for 52 yards. So they definitely wanted to get the running game going against the Bengals. Who have had some injuries on that defense. The defense still played very well.
They did.
They definitely gave Andy Dalton and that offense a chance to win the game.
Yeah, they did. Mike Zimmer called a hell of a game. He played well last week and everything. You look at what they did, and it didn't work this week. They had 3 straight weeks with 15-plus fantasy points, and we did not see that from them this week. Chargers actually led the defense. In defenses, and I have them in a playoff challenge, and I'm just planning on sticking with them. And a lot of people are going to be freaking out, saying, "Well, how do you stick with the Chargers when they have Denver?" I'm not worried about Denver.
No, you can't score negative points as a defense in this playoff challenge that we're doing. And I mean, the San Diego's defense has actually played fairly well against Broncos this year. Believe it or not, they've held them under 30 points in both matchups. And I'm not saying the turnovers are necessarily going to be there, but if you can get a defense for as cheap as you can get the Chargers, and I mean, you can't go negative, so what are you really risking? A defense like the Seahawks, you could possibly get 5 points against the Saints.
And you're
going to
pay 12 extra bucks for it.
Exactly, so. Compared to like a Chargers team that could get you 2 points, which I mean, I'm fine with that when you look at the defense.
But I am too.
As far as that game, nothing much else we can look at other than the fact that we're not sure if Marvin Jones is going to that their coach is going to be there next year.
Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis, yeah.
He'll probably end up staying, but you just look at it. 11 years after, and he's won 0 playoff games. And I know everyone's going to say, well, we got to kind of worry about, he hasn't really had the team, whatever, his quarterback's not good. Okay, we've had this argument before. Jason Garrett, everyone said that he should get canned after 3 seasons. He hasn't made the playoffs in any of the 3. I understand that. But the thing is he hasn't won a playoff game. Marvin Lewis hasn't won a playoff game in 11 years. I don't see a difference there, honestly. I mean, sure, you go to the playoffs, but you're not winning it. So I don't see the difference.
Yeah, the difference is that Marvin Lewis is actually making the playoffs and Jason Garrett isn't. I'm a firm believer that Jason Garrett should be fired, but that's just me. I like Marvin Lewis a lot, but he just hasn't been able to do anything in the playoffs. So moving on from the Chargers and Bengals game, we're going to go over to the New Orleans and Philadelphia game. I had New Orleans in this game, and Chris had the Eagles. How far did you actually have the Eagles going?
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. You already lost your Super Bowl pick.
Yep. I knew that eventually the coaching blunders would take over for Chip Kelly. I had them going all the way up to the Super Bowl. They were a hot team. Had them losing in the Super Bowl to the Patriots. But, I mean, you look at what they did there, and the coaching blunders took over. I mean, it's exactly what we talked about. The ball control. You got to get DeSean Jackson involved. They started calling plays that were not getting DeSean Jackson involved. They kind of went away from it. And when you do stuff like that, you're pretty much just quitting on your team. I did not like how Chip Kelly called this game. I think he really did a poor job coaching in this game, honestly.
I mean, that's what it came down to. I chose the Saints over the Eagles purely based on the experience that Sean Payton and Drew Brees have together in the playoffs. They both won a Super Bowl together. And then on the other side, you have Chip Kelly, who's in his first NFL playoffs, considering this is his first year in the NFL after coaching Oregon. And Nick Foles, who's a second-year quarterback, didn't really know what to expect out of him. Nick Foles actually played a pretty good game. I'll give him that. But a lot of people didn't have faith in the Saints because the Saints are 0-5 on the road in the postseason. And they have not played well on the road at all. They haven't won a game on the road. So I see people's views and going with the Eagles. I just went with the experience in this game. If we're going to look at a fantasy perspective, a lot of you probably went with Drew Brees in the playoff challenge, which he ended up throwing 250 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions.
13 fantasy points.
13 fantasy points. I went with Brees in mine, and, I mean, he did not have that as great of a game.
Made that sweet last-minute lineup call. Andrew Luck, let's throw him on the bench, plug in Drew Brees. That was a heck of a call.
Yep, I made that call, and I'm going to stand by it, and I'll be dished out enough crap for it, I guarantee you, but... I mean, at least I will at least have Brees in the next round. Oh, wait, he plays Seattle. Not that great. But anyways, going into this game as well, Pierre Thomas was out. Big key, big loss for that team. He's been there for him all year. But you have a guy named Mark Ingram who comes in and lights it up. I mean, honestly, 18 carries for 97 yards and a touchdown. What else could you ask for? This guy has been there for you all year. People are saying he's a bust, but, I mean, is he really a bust if you're not giving him carries?
No, he hasn't gotten the carries he needs. And definitely, I think next year, especially, you have to get this guy 10-plus touches a game. I mean, I know they're loaded at running back. The problem is Mark Ingram's a guy who can break tackles. He's a guy who can – he should be their goal line back, honestly. Like, Pierre Thomas is a big guy. Mark Ingram's bigger. And that's just kind of where I am right now. I've seen him have success with Darren Sproles. I've seen him have success with Kyrie Robinson. I've seen him have success with Pierre Thomas. Now it's Mark Ingram's turn. Yep. It's Mark Ingram's turn now, I think. So that's where I'm kind of headed right now.
Yeah, and the running backs seem to change every year in the Saints. Like last year it was Darren Sproles. This year it's Pierre Thomas. Maybe next year it's Mark Ingram's turn. And, I mean, you still definitely use Pierre Thomas and Darren Sproles as long as they're there. They're definitely the better players in the receiving game. Darren Sproles is actually leading the team in receptions against the Eagles. He ended up with 4 catches for 31 yards. Other than that, nothing really much out of the Saints receiving game.
No, they didn't do anything. Nope. Jimmy Graham, 45 yards.
Three catches for 44 yards, yeah. And the leading receiver, when it comes to fantasy points, was Lance Moore, who had 2 catches for 31 yards. And if it wasn't for that touchdown, he wouldn't be the lead. But
Marquise Colston, fantasy stud as we know him, had 1 fantasy point.
2 catches for 16 yards. You cannot trust that guy. Unfortunately, he has the talent. He's Ben Breeze's go-to guy, but, I mean, it just depends what week he decides to show up. Going to the Eagles' side of the ball, their offense didn't put up as many points as people had assumed they would have. A lot of that can go towards possibly DeSean Jackson being shut down. Keenan Lewis on the Saints did a very good job of shutting down DeSean Jackson. Then Keenan Lewis goes out with an injury, and what do you know, DeSean Jackson gets his first catch of the game. DeSean Jackson ended up with 3 catches for 53 yards. The receiver who shocked us on the Eagles was Riley Cooper, who ended up with 6 catches for 68 yards, a touchdown. That would be 12 fantasy points right there. It's amazing to see how far Riley Cooper has came since the beginning of the season. The adversity that he took for
his teammates hate him.
Teammates hate him. And, I mean, for what he said and how he's came out into the field, and performed this year, it's very good. I mean, I'm impressed with it. Other than that, the offense was okay. LeSean McCoy did not have near as great of a game as people had thought. 21 carries, 77 yards, and a touchdown. Kind of disappointment.
Yeah, it was. It was a real bummer. He still managed, 14 fantasy points, something like that?
Yeah, he ended up with 77 rushing yards, 15 receiving yards, so that's a little over 90 yards total with the touchdown. So you're looking at about 15 fantasy points.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's all you can really expect from him. I was kind of expecting a little bit more out of LeSean McCoy, but honestly, I'm not too disappointed. Starting him in the playoff challenge, I'm still leading up by like 30 points right now, thanks to T.Y. Hilton, which we'll talk about a little bit later here. And that's kind of where I'm headed with that right now. I will say this, if I was the Saints, I do kind of like Shane Graham next week. I don't know about you. I think that they could be held to a lot of field goals next week, and I think Shane Graham definitely has some ability to do well.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely a guy who could easily get two or three field goals. They're going to go against a Seattle team who they have not had success against at all this year. And, I mean, you saw beast mode against them a couple years ago in the playoffs. And, I mean, it's going to be a good game. We'll go over who we have winning that game a little bit later. Nick Foles, on the other hand, he went 23 of 33 with 195 yards and two touchdowns.
That's 19 fantasy points.
19 fantasy points. He was a solid quarterback for you in the playoff challenge, but kind of what I expected out of him, considering it was his first playoff appearance. All right, we're going to move on to the other side of the ball. We've already covered the Bengals and Chargers, Saints and Eagles, and now we're going to move on to KC and Indianapolis. Without a doubt, the best, most craziest game of the playoffs. You cannot rule Andrew Luck out, down 28-10 at halftime. 38-10. Yeah, I'm sorry. 38-10, even making it worse. And, I mean, a lot of blame on the comeback can definitely go to the injuries that they sustained. But there's no excuse of blowing a 28-point lead. You did lose Jamaal Charles in the first quarter, but you still managed to put up 38 points. It's like they definitely gave you the amount of points that you need to win a game. Unfortunately, injuries caught up with them, and the Chiefs couldn't finish the game.
Yeah, Pagano told T.Y. Hilton to go win the game. Just go win it. And he did that. It's kind of funny how much different this it was from the beginning of the season, because the beginning of the season, the Colts hated T.Y. Hilton. They actually demoted him to their third-string wide receiver. Wasn't even going to be the starter on their team. Had Reggie Wade starting ahead of him, which of course I agree with, but then we had Darius Hayward-Bey starting above him.
That's a big blow. Tough to hear.
And when you go into that thinking where he was, I mean, we went to the Colts preseason game number one, and T.Y. Hilton had an amazing touchdown grab. I like T.Y. Hilton ever since he came out. I have no idea how he wasn't starting since the beginning of the season.
T.Y. Hilton has definitely grasped that number two receiving core. I mean, when Reggie Wayne is healthy. We're going to go into this game, and you're looking at the top two of the top quarterbacks in the playoff challenge.
And wide receivers.
Yeah, and wide receivers. You have Alex Smith,
who had 42 fantasy
points. 30 and 46, 378 passing yards and 4 touchdowns.
Zero interceptions.
He did lose a fumble, but this guy definitely showed up, and I think we can actually get rid of the label of him being a game manager now.
Yeah.
He definitely came out and was just like, yeah, this is how a game manager plays? No. He came and he made some downfield throws. If I'm not mistaken, they only completed one play for over 60 yards during the regular season. They completed two of those in this game.
Yeah.
One of which going to Dwayne Bowe for 63 yards and another one going for 79 yards to Donnie Avery. As far as Jamaal Charles going out, Al Davis came in and had himself quite a game.
He did.
He had 18 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown, along with 7 catches for 33 yards and a touchdown. I like Al Davis a lot. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I love him. Actually, this game, actually, now that I think about it, had the top two leading quarterbacks, top two leading receivers, and top two leading running backs.
Yep.
So this game was loaded with fantasy points all over the board. Al Davis is a guy I think next year, even if you don't have Jamaal Charles, you need to own him next year. He needs to be a guy drafted. And if you do have Jamaal Charles, you definitely better be getting this guy next season.
Yep, you definitely handcuff Al Davis. Jamaal Charles, top fantasy running back this year, but you just don't know how it's going to work out. And I mean, going into the Colts side of the ball, they started off not good at all in the first quarter, or in the first half in general. Trent Richardson, big bust for that team, traded for a first-round pick. One carry, one fumble.
I don't expect him to get any carries next week.
I mean, it's just going to be tough. You can't really hand the ball off to that guy and really trust what he's going to do. I mean, Donald Brown's actually stepped in and done a very good job. In this game, he had 11 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. Along with 4 receptions for 47 yards and a touchdown. This guy has been there for the Colts no matter what. I have actually never been a Donald Brown fan until this year.
Nope.
And he's showing me a lot. And I mean, they're definitely going to have to fix the running game next season. But as of right now, it's Donald Brown. And we actually like him in the playoff challenge for next week against the Patriots.
Yeah, if you're using a one-week thing, Donald Brown's a guy you can plug in. I don't like him long-term just because I'm going to reveal my pick right now. I have the Patriots beating him.
Yep.
And that's kind of where I'm rolling right now. I don't really like him right for the entire playoffs. But if you're in a one-week solution where you just need one guy, he's definitely the guy I would plan on moving towards. New England's run defense has not been that great. Another thing, if you looked at what they did to Denver, what New England did to Denver and how they kind of tricked them into running, I bet New England's going to do the exact same thing with Indy. They're going to try to disguise their look where it makes it look like it's a great run defense every single time, and Andrew Luck's going to audible to a ton of runs. And that's what Peyton got caught in, and you have to be able to still rely on the arm of Andrew Luck, and that's where we kind of are right now. Peyton got tricked into it, cost them the game. Knowshon Moreno ran for like 230 yards against them, but it cost them the game, honestly, because they were just sitting there running the ball the entire time, and they couldn't really move it.
Exactly, and I mean, this was, without a doubt, this game was just interesting. You didn't really know what to expect. I actually kind of gave up on this game a little early, especially when Andrew Luck came out in the second half. I think that interception, it was just so tough because the Chiefs went away from the running game once Niles Davis also got injured as well, along with Brandon Flowers on the defensive side getting injured. You also had Donnie Avery get injured, who had a big 79-yard touchdown catch. And, I mean, it was just kind of hard for the Chiefs to grasp those injuries and play well against a Colts team where Andrew Luck was never going to say die. Like, he was going to win that game no matter what. The momentum was definitely with the Chiefs, but Andrew Luck never gave in. And, I mean, for 443 yards and four touchdowns, also had three picks. This team had four turnovers, if I'm not mistaken, and still won the game.
No, we had, four turnovers, so one. Yep.
Three interceptions and a fumble by Richardson. Alex Smith definitely gave him a chance. Looking at their receiving game, you had Dwayne Bowe, who actually really shocked me this game. He had eight catches for 150 yards and a touchdown. The thing with him is you just don't know what to expect, but he had a big 63-yard catch, and, I mean, he was the number two receiver in Fantasy Challenge this week.
Yeah, I think that you're kind of looking at him as a 8th to 9th round pick next year.
Yeah.
Just from what he can give you is top 15 wide receiver potential, without a doubt. And maybe this is an opportunity that they're like, well, maybe we can throw the ball, and maybe next year they'll try to lean more into letting Alex Smith feed the rock to Dwayne Bowe. And if they let him do that, I mean, Dwayne Bowe's going to be a top 15 fantasy wide receiver without a doubt.
Exactly. And on the other side of the ball, you have T.Y. Hilton, who had 13 grabs for 224 yards and two touchdowns. The MVP, along with Andrew Luck, for this
game.
And Chris started him. He will never let you hear the end of that. But this guy is just, he was there. And I mean, he had a great week in week 17, and it definitely carried over onto this playoff game. With the Brandon Flowers injury, that actually really hurt the Chiefs in the long run because that led to the 64-yard game-winning touchdown throw by Luck to Hilton. And jaws dropped, unbelievable game-ending touchdown, and it was just unbelievable. The Colts play the Patriots next round. We'll go over a little later who we have in that game and who you can look at to fill into your fantasy challenge lineups. We're going to move on to the last wildcard game. Being San Francisco and Green Bay. Definitely the game most people look forward to watching. 4 degrees and it felt like -14.
People out there with their shirts off.
Yeah, people.
Idiots.
Yeah, people, players sleeveless. It was just ridiculous. That just shows how tough NFL players are. Who did you have going into this game?
I had the Packers.
You had the Packers. I actually went 4-0 yesterday, or 4-0 in the wild cards, surprisingly. I went with the 49ers in this game just because I trusted their defense more. Which, I mean, their defense was okay, not great. Packers definitely should have won this game, in our opinion. You have the 49ers who get in the red zone their first two drives of the game, and the Packers offense isn't really doing much. But yet the Packers hold the 49ers to two field goals to start off the game. I don't know what else you can ask for. This is the time of the game where the Packers need to make a push.
They couldn't pass block
it. They couldn't. And, I mean, they had to make a push. And, I mean, right when Kaepernick threw the interception to Tremont Williams and Tremont Williams trucked over Kaepernick, the momentum changed. Angelo came out and led a great drive, which resulted in a touchdown. A touchdown to Jordy Nelson. Which, I mean, I thought the game could potentially be over at that point, just because once Aaron Rodgers is in that zone, he's so hard to stop. But they didn't, and the 49ers prevailed. Kaepernick had, once again, another great rushing game against the Packers. The problem with Kaepernick is that he can't really run against anyone else except the Packers.
No, I saw him miss so many throws yesterday.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was due to the cold.
It could be, because, I mean, Rodgers didn't really have that great of a game either.
No, but he just, I mean, I saw wide open receivers. Vernon Davis, he had him a couple times deep. He just flat out missed him. And in those kind of scenarios, those are mistakes you can't have against Carolina.
No, absolutely. And Carolina will make you pay for that, and that'll be a very good game. I mean, Kaepernick completing 14 of his passes. Rodgers only completing 9 of his. Looking at the running game, Eddie Lacy, rookie running back, came in. He had 21 carries for 81 yards. I mean, out of a rookie running back, that is a very good game in the playoffs, in my opinion.
At least he didn't have a Giovanni Bernard game.
No, and like we said, Giovanni Bernard played like a rookie in that game, and you cannot make those mistakes, which Eddie Lacy, who is the fantasy rookie of the year, in our opinion, he came out, he's their guy, and he played a great game.
He's probably a top 7 running back next year. Actually, he's definitely a top 7 running back, in my opinion. Probably a top 7 pick next year.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where we are.
And as for old reliable Frank Gore, he had 20 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown. This guy's still doing it, still a very strong and powerful runner. We're not sure how much longer he's going to be there. But if you're going to go to the X factor in this game, I'm going to go to Michael Crabtree. They did not have him for most of the season. Coming off an Achilles injury, he ended this game with 8 catches for 125 yards, a big boost for this 49ers offense. First drive of the game, Crabtree had 4 catches for 71 yards. You just knew it was just going to be a Crabtree game. And
he kind of disappeared for a little bit.
He disappeared, but I mean, that's what you're going to have that possibly with this team, Crabtree, Bolden, and Davis being the only receivers. And I mean, if you're going to look outside of Crabtree, Bolden, and Davis for this game, there were only three other players with receptions. Frank Gore had a reception, Anthony Dixon a reception, so two of those being running backs. And Garrett Celek, only one reception, the backup tight end. So you can just definitely tell who's getting the targets, who's getting the looks. Looking at the Packers, it was really only the Jordy Nelson show. He had 7 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown. The only receiver that kind of helped was Randall Cobb, who had 2 catches for 51 yards. Other than that, not much help out of the Packers receiving game.
No, definitely. That's definitely the problem. They did not get a lot of help. I mean, we had Jordy Nelson show up. Randall Cobb admits his mistake for not scoring on the final drive of the game, and ultimately it cost them the game. They would have scored. San Francisco would have had to go down and get a touchdown, and that would have just been absolutely amazing to watch. But instead, we got to watch them kick a game-winning field goal. That's always fun to watch happen.
And I don't know how many of you even saw the game-winning field goal, but that was the closest game-winning field goal. It literally went in between a guy's arms.
Yeah, he closes his arms, he gets a block.
Exactly. If he has his arms like an inch closer together, like that's a block kick. It was just a crazy ending of that game. And the 49ers are going to advance on to play the Carolina Panthers. And, I mean, after that game, we're done with the wild card round. We're actually going to move on to our divisional rounds, correct? We're going to go over a little bit about who you can pick up in your playoff challenges, who do we think can prevail in these games. We're going to start off with the name Indianapolis, New England. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the players that you lost in the first round of the playoff challenge and who you think can be viable fill-ins.
Starting with Andy Dalton, I was actually playing on him playing against the Patriots this week instead of Andrew Luck. A guy you can really replace him with is an Andrew Luck. If you look at how New England hasn't been great, they haven't had a great defense, but they definitely had a solid defense, and you can definitely throw on them. We've seen what Andrew Luck does even in second quarters. I definitely do not expect them to show up in the first half. I'm done counting on the Colts in the first half. So if you start him and you're like, oh, wow, he played terrible in the first half, expect it. He'll come out and play better in the second half. I definitely don't think the Colts are winning this game, though. So if I had a choice at any quarterback off the board, it's Colin Kaepernick the rest of the way for me.
Okay, I understand that. I actually have the Colts winning this game. I think the Colts are going to win because the Patriots, they're one of the shocking teams of the season just purely based off the talent that is around Tom Brady. He doesn't have Rob Gronkowski. This year it's been Julian Edelman, who has 105 carries or 105 receptions for 1,056 yards and 6 touchdowns. It's going to be a very good game because Tom Brady is a great quarterback, one of the greatest of all times, and he performs well in the playoffs. I'm going with Andrew Luck, though, because that guy will never say die, and I just think that they're going to win this game. You have Donald Brown, who's playing well, and T.Y. Hilton, who's playing well. Thing is that T.Y. Hilton's going to be covered by Aqib Talib, which that could actually be a big factor for that team. It'll just kind of depend who else shows up to be that target for Andrew Luck.
T.Y. Hilton, that definitely hasn't played well on grass this year once he gets in the outside, outdoor conditions for whatever it is. For some reason, though, something's telling me that it's going to be different, that T.Y. Hilton's going to step up in the playoffs. You look at what they do, I mean, if they're going to keep throwing him the ball, he's going to keep getting open. Nobody can really guard the guy. He's got the speed. We saw it happen earlier. Good corners are great, but then you can't always defend against speed. We saw Ike Taylor, good corner, gets shut down by Josh Gordon because of the speed that he had. He was able to just show up and outrun him.
Joe Hayden, he got torched a couple times this year.
Yep. Cecil Shorts torched him. I mean, just guys with the speed, the guys who can run. And that's what we can see. We can see Talib. Now, will they double? Obviously, they're going to have safety help over the top. And if they go all the way safety help, where the safety is going to be coming in and guarding the inside routes and all that, not just over the top, it's going to be a tough day for T.Y. Hilton. But I definitely still like him here.
Yeah, you and I both also like LeGarrette Blount this game.
Yes.
Blount, who is one of my... He's very cheap, and he's one of my most underrated signings of the year. He's definitely came in and helped out a struggling Patriots running game. Stephon Ridley, who's facing a lot of fumble issues this year. LeGarrette Blount, surprisingly, 153 carries, 772 yards, and 7 touchdowns this year. 7 touchdowns, that's very impressive out of that. What is third string running back?
Yeah, 3 straight weeks with 15 plus fantasy points. And I looked at LeGarrette Blount as he's last 2 weeks, he had Buffalo and Baltimore, finished with 19 fantasy points in both of those matchups plus. So I really like that.
And you're playing Indianapolis defense who got torched by Nile Davis. And I mean, we just don't know what would have happened if Jamaal Charles would have played that entire game.
Yeah, the Patriots are really quick moving. Colts are not going to get a lot of breaks. You look at what Kansas City does, they're a lot slower of an offense, huddle up to kind of slow it down. New England's not. We're going to hurry up offense, jam it down your throat, and you're not going to get a break. We're just going to keep counting, pounding, pounding. And if you look at a guy like LeGarrette Blount, what he does so well is he's a bruiser. He pounds you in the first quarter. You're not really that bad. You're not injured, but then he just keeps pounding you throughout the game, and those tackles keep loosening up because it hurts more and more every single time he hits you.
Exactly, and I mean, we don't know exactly what type of game Chamberlain's going to be have.
I fully expect Stephon Ridley to get carries in this game. Not a lot of carries, but he'll kind of loosen up the defense a little bit. And that's what the Patriots can do to you. They just throw so many running backs at you. They're always feeling good. They're always in the right shape, and they're always good to go. And that's kind of what you look at when you're going in with the Patriots.
Exactly. It'll be a very good game. I have the Colts in this game, and you have the Patriots. So it'll be definitely a good game to watch. Moving on to our next divisional game, we're going to move on to San Diego and Denver in the AFC. San Diego, who actually took a game from Broncos this year, they actually split the series 1-1. You have the Chargers winning this matchup. Tell us why.
38-21. That time of possession in the last two games that they faced each other, that's San Diego's shot. They have to win the time of possession. They let Peyton Manning on the field for 38-21, and they're the 21, and Peyton Manning's the 38. The game's over. Okay, they're going to get blown out by 40 points in the final game because that's what's going to happen. You have to limit the amount of time that Peyton Manning touches the ball. You have to allow your defense to get those long rests and keep Denver's defense working. Denver's defense is absolutely terrible. This could definitely be a...
They're also without Von Miller, correct?
Yes, this could be a Ravens versus Broncos last year. You look at it where they both had 40 points in the game. Would it shock me if that happened? No, not at all.
No.
It wouldn't shock me if they both had 40. I don't really like Phillip Rivers in this matchup, though, because I think that it's all about the clock management. It's going to be more about the running backs.
And you're getting Ryan Matthews back. He's played very well this year, especially against Denver.
And I still like Danny Woodhead's value. Ronnie Brown fades if Ryan Matthews is back.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just kind of depends on how that goes and how Ryan Matthews' ankle holds up. Keenan Allen, rookie receiver sensation, he's played very well against the Broncos as well. Other than that, I mean, no other possible receivers we would start.
Unless you want to take a shot in the dark with Ladarius Green.
Yeah, it's just I wouldn't go with either of these tight ends. They're kind of hit or miss. Ladarius Green, who we both love for the future, without a doubt.
It's going to be an easy transition.
Oh, exactly. And they're getting them. They're getting accustomed to this offense really well right now. And once Gates is out, they're just going to plug Green in, and he's not going to miss a beat.
It's going to be an easy transition. So smooth.
Exactly. And, I mean, looking over on the Broncos side of the ball, you obviously have this guy named Peyton Manning. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's pretty good. 55 touchdowns this year. And he's definitely got his four guys. Demaryius Thomas with 14 touchdowns. Eric Decker with 11. Julius Thomas with 12. And Wes Welker with 10. Not to mention Wes Welker has missed a couple weeks this year. Noah Sean Moreno, one of the biggest surprises. There's a lot of weapons you are worrying about this in this game if you're the Chargers. Which, I mean, they're based on clock management, they do a very good job of getting Peyton Manning off beat for some reason. And
Yeah, definitely. That's where I am. I look at what the Broncos got, and I don't like any of the Broncos receivers. I don't know who's going to have the big game.
Exactly. You don't want to pay too many units for a receiver that could be there or could not. I would rather save units, get a receiver who you feel and know is going to be there, and still fill in other spots on your roster that you definitely need.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the history, guys. When was the last time that a one seed won the Super Bowl? I have no idea. What happens all the time is a wild card team gets hot, they win games. And this is where I'm leading right now. I can't trust any of the Broncos wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking to look at this stat that I'm about to throw at you, the Chargers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know if any of you knew this, but the last 3 years, the Super Bowl winner played the Philadelphia Eagles week one. Which the San Diego Chargers played Philadelphia week one this year. I mean, I'm not sure if that's going to still stick up because the Chargers are definitely the biggest underdogs in these playoffs. But it's very interesting.
Should throw another stat out. All three of the teams in the AFC playoffs left, Chargers, Colts, Patriots, have all beaten the Broncos this year. And they're 1-3 in those games. They beat the Chargers one time. So
Denver's definitely gonna have to show up in these playoffs. They're not going to be taken lightly whatsoever. Who do you have in this game? You have the Chargers.
Correct? Chargers.
You have the Chargers in this game. You think the clock management is what's going to get the Chargers this win?
Yep.
I'm going with the Broncos because I feel like the offense is too high-powered. They have had a week to sit, so we don't know if they're going to come out flat or strong. Just kind of depends. But I definitely want to see a Broncos and Colts AFC championship. I want to see Andrew Luck take down Peyton Manning, and I just want to hear all the clutter on, did we make the mistake? Why? We're so glad we got Andrew Luck. The Broncos are going to maybe have an early exit out of the playoffs, which could possibly lead to a John Fox firing in the future. We're not sure.
I don't like Noah Sean Moreno this week.
You don't like Noah Sean Moreno? I mean, I like him. I mean, I don't think you... Do you know how many units exactly he's going for in the playoff challenge?
He's like the second highest running back.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste that many on him. This could very well be a passing game for the Broncos a lot. And, I mean, they do get Notron involved a lot, but we'll just have to wait and see. Going over to the NFC divisional games.
I don't know if we said this, but we're plugging in the Chargers defense.
Chargers defense as well. Yeah,
we can't go negative. We can talk about that.
Yeah, Chargers defense can't go negative. We like them because they're the cheapest.
Yep.
We're going to go over to the NFC divisional games. We're going to start off with New Orleans and Seattle. A lot of memories in our head when it comes to this matchup.
34-7?
34-7. earlier this season, it was not a good game for the Saints whatsoever. A play that has also melted into Saints fans' heads is the touchdown run by Marshawn Lynch, one of the greatest football runs in NFL history. You have Seattle at home, the 12th man, one of the most difficult places to win at. Seattle, who has done very well against the Saints, earlier this season, Drew Brees actually wore earplugs to the game because it was so loud in there. And you're telling me that your crowd and your team is getting into Drew Brees' head that easily? You're doing a great job. And we both have Seattle in this game, no matter what kind of streak Russell Wilson's on.
I'm changing my mind.
You're changing your mind right now.
Going Seriously? With the New Orleans Saints to win this game.
You're going with the Saints to win this game.
Yep.
What changed your mind?
Well, I was sitting here just thinking, I do not trust the Seattle Seahawks at all.
Why is that?
Russell Wilson's played absolutely terrible last year.
He's played terrible, but I mean, I see your point. Drew Brees is definitely the most trust. You can trust him more in the playoffs, but
I feel
the defense is going to be the biggest X factor in this game.
Defense is going to be the biggest X factor, but I also believe that the Seattle's going to come in with a little hot head. They're going to come in like, we already beat this team. 34-7. This team doesn't got it. And I mean, I see what the Saints did last week with their first playoff win, and I think that momentum is just going to carry.
Winning on the road, I mean,
they broke that barrier.
They broke the barrier. I definitely see your point. It's so hard for me. to go against Drew Brees and Sean Payton, who have won a Super Bowl together, and putting my playoff, my perfect playoff record, on Russell Wilson's shoulders. Saints. Marsh, you're going with the Saints. I'm going with the Seahawks.
Who that?
I think the defense continues to get into Drew Brees' head, and I'm going with them. If they get Pierre Thomas back, then I wouldn't start Mark Ingram in the playoff challenge. If Pierre Thomas is yet out again, you like Mark Ingram.
I do. Mark Ingram's a guy who's a big back who, I mean, a lot of people are going to say, well, he is going against Seattle's defense. Well, the thing is Seattle's going to be more worried about Drew Brees. They're going to be keyed in on Drew Brees. Whatever Drew Brees is doing, they're worried about, because Drew Brees is going to throw the ball 40 times.
Exactly. I mean, Seattle's defense has actually experienced holes when it comes to running backs.
Mike James,
who also had Zach Stacy, who had 160 rushing yard game, if I'm not mistaken, earlier this season.
That's just where we are. I mean,
it just depends.
It's ER cheap too. I think he's 16 units, something like that. Yeah. And that's money. It's money in the bank.
Without a doubt. I mean, Seahawks are going to definitely rely on Marshawn Lynch a lot in this game. Based on kind of the lack of receiving core that the Seahawks have, they are without Percy Harvin.
He might
return. Percy Harvin might return, but if they yet are without him, you're looking at Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you're not going to know what to expect.
So.
And even if Percy Harvin comes back, you're not exactly going to know what to expect, because you're going to throw him in there into one of the biggest games of the season.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It just kind of depends. You don't know how he's going
to
show up.
It looks like a disaster to me.
Exactly. And when it comes to the Saints receiving game, guys, we're only trusting Jimmy Graham. And, I mean, that is... But he's not our tight end to pick, though.
Yeah.
But if you're going to trust a receiver, it's Jimmy Graham. Marquise Colston? No, thank you. Kenny Stills? Please give me an 80-yard touchdown. No, thank you. No, you're going to go with Jimmy Graham, if anyone. Seahawks, you're either going with Russell Wilson or Marshawn Lynch, in my opinion.
I don't like their defense. You're going against Drew Brees. Too much money.
Yeah, don't waste your money on them. Like we said, go with the Chargers.
Even if your defense got knocked out, say you had the Bengals, they got knocked out, I don't really care. I mean, pay the 12 extra less bucks. You can make a transaction move on that if you have enough.
Exactly.
And just take Chargers defense, or just take the zero. Who cares?
Exactly. I mean, that's where we're at there. I have Seahawks, you have Saints. We're going to move on to the last divisional game in the NFC, which will be between the 49ers and the Panthers. This is definitely going to be a good game, in my opinion. This game earlier this season ended 10-9 with the Panthers winning. I know you have the complete opposite thinking on that. The Panthers, who are looking to get Steve Smith back, how big of an addition do you think Steve Smith is to this offense?
Well, he's a huge addition, whether he catches the ball or not. Steve Smith's the guy who can just make you focus on him a little bit, just make you kind of worry about him. He's obviously not the receiver he was 5 years ago. But, I mean, like we saw in Kansas City this year, Dwayne Bowe, was he the best fantasy play? No, he wasn't. And I don't want to play Steve Smith in a fantasy challenge either this week. But I definitely want to look at Steve Smith as a guy who can help the offense grow, like help with Brandon LaFell, help with Ted Ginn. The problem is, I just don't trust I don't trust Cam Newton in this game. You look at, it's his first playoff game. It's going to be a big game for him. Ron Rivera's never coached in the playoffs before. And we saw what Chip Kelly did in the playoffs. I mean, can we see the same thing in Carolina?
Exactly. I mean, Panthers, this is their first year in the playoffs for a long time. You have Cam Newton, who has had one of his best, most impressive seasons. You actually have D'Angelo Williams, who actually has had one of his better years. As of the receiving game, they need Steve Smith, because Steve Smith is the type of guy, like Chris said, whether or not he gets 5 catches or 1 catch, he's going to be a guy you have to worry about, because he's that big potential, he's that big play guy, go up, make a catch. He will get in the cornerback's mind. It could lead to a game-winning penalty, for all we know. He's just that type of guy.
Joe Morgan.
Exactly. I mean, he's just that guy who can just get into any player's head. I have the 49ers in this game. I think that Colin Kaepernick, he had 96 rushing yards last week. He might actually get some confidence back in the running game. And you're going against the Panthers defense that actually hasn't really seen many mobile quarterbacks this year. I mean, yeah, you've played Kaepernick and Wilson, but I mean, Kaepernick is definitely one of the best rushing quarterbacks. And you also have Michael Crabtree, who is back, and he is helping out this team tremendously, taking a lot of pressure off of Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis. I feel like this is just too much for the Panthers to handle. They have had a great year, opened a lot of eyes, but 49ers have been here. They were here last year. And I don't think they're going to pass up on this opportunity.
Nope, I think they're going to the Super Bowl.
You have the 49ers or Super Bowl?
Super Bowl with the Patriots. And right now I have Patriots winning, but...
I actually have the 49ers losing to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship. Which, I mean, we're both hit or miss there. We both like Colin Kaepernick in the playoff challenge, correct?
Yep,
we like him a lot. Rushing yards definitely help out on fantasy points.
I think he's 64 units or something like that, but it's well worth it because he's a guy you can kind of count on to be there late in the playoffs. I mean, he was a guy I kind of like this week. The problem is I just kind of thought the Colts would kind of get after him. Mm-hmm. But four straight weeks with 20-plus fantasy points, definitely a guy I like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trusting D'Angelo Williams at all in this game.
I don't trust any Panther.
I don't trust Cam Newton either when it comes from a fantasy aspect.
I don't like the Panthers' defense. I don't like the Panthers' receivers. I don't like Greg Olsen. I don't like any of them.
Just stay away from all of them. We both expect the 49ers to win this game. You have it being a blowout, correct? I have it.
Well, it's like 31-10.
31-10? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say, what did I say earlier? I said 24-14, maybe 24-17. I see it being a, kind of a defensive game, but I mean, that's just me. As of that, though, guys, we are done with the divisional games and the wild card games. We're actually just going to probably go on to who we have winning it all, why not. In my AFC Championship, I would have Colts versus the Broncos. I have the Colts beating the Broncos. Moving on to the Super Bowl, as of in the NFC, I have the Seahawks beating the 49ers. Going to the NFC Championships, which I will then have the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl. Who do you have?
Patriots versus 49ers, Patriots win it all. Cold weather is going to get them again, and if the 49ers plan on playing like that in snow against Tom Brady, you're going to lose, no doubt about that, and that's where I'm leaning right now.
If Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl this year, he is the greatest quarterback of all time. Because you're looking at who he has thrown the ball to this year, that is amazing. Yep. And the defense losing Vince Wilfork, that's a big blow to their team as well.
Also lost Mayo for time. They also lost Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost pieces all over the board. And this team's tremendous.
Can you just imagine if this team had weapons? It'd just be like, without a doubt, Patriots. But, I mean, as of that, do you have anything else? Anything else to add? I think that's all we have. Definitely subscribe to us, guys. We're actually on iTunes now. Go search us, Fantasy Football Insights. Subscribe to us. Download our podcast. Walk around. Listen to us in your car, whatever. Just tell your friends about us. We love doing this. We're fans of football 24/7. It does not die.
There will be many more of these, by the way, over the off season.
Oh yeah, we love finding things to talk about on this. So we appreciate you guys listening. And have a great day. Yep, thank you very much.